All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Friday, January 23rd of 2026. Looking ahead here, we have a lot of sports going on today. We have some golf action already underway. We have some COD action already underway. We have NBA, NHL, and tennis later this evening as well. So should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do the show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So you can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up on the screen. We have a lot of questions to get to today, which is always cool. And we are going to jump right in. First question, I'm getting negative sim ROI as a whole on my 150 sets. I use a different projection source. Could this be the issue as post-lock sims use Saber projections? Just want to figure out why I'd be showing negative ROI overall. Okay. So you got to be a little bit careful here, right? It's a little bit of like a slippery slope. The answer, well, if you asked me the question, hey, does custom projections impact your sim ROI? The answer is yes, because you're using something that is different from the SaberSim baselines. However, I do not think you can just chalk up negative sim ROI solely to using different projections and basically make the assumption that if the post-contest sims were using your projections, you would be positive, right? I think you can see this. If we go back to even like yesterday, and let's say we go with the contest tab. All right, we go to the fadeaway. And we'll let these lineups load. All right, so we go to users. And we'll look at 150 maxers, sort of by sim ROI. All right, so there are some names in here that if you guys are familiar with the DFS space, maybe you guys will recognize. I think one in particular that maybe people know is Nerdy Tenor, right? Very popular person in the DFS community. I think it's, if you know about Nerdy, you know that he does all of his own stuff and he's talked about it on like shows and things like that. You know, he's showing a positive 38% sim ROI here, right? Is he, you know, at the top? Is he one of the highest? No, but he's still, you know, very, very positive here. So like, I'm going to make the assumption he is not using SaberSim projections here and doing his own thing. Well, his lineups are still good, right? They're still strong. They're still near the top of this list, right? That tells me that, hey, even though he's not using SaberSim projections, he probably still has really good lineups and they might even grade out a little bit better if in our system, if he was using our projections, right? That's just like more just kind of process-based and things like that. You know, if you're way down here, right, and you are showing, you know, a very low sim ROI in the negative, even if using your projections brought you up 10%, brought you up 20%, right, you're still pretty low on this list overall in terms of just like top-down, like counting. I would say that there is probably some other thing that you could be doing to make your lineups better outside of simply changing the projection set that you're using. So be aware of like how far down on the list you are, how far away from the top you are. in terms of percentage, in terms of like number of users, and kind of use that in grading yourself, right? Like if I was not using SaberSim projections and I found myself in this bottom tier, I would be a little concerned and like, hey, you know, what can I do to try and, you know, move up a little bit? Even if I go from, you know, -5 to like 20%, I'd be super happy about that because I know I'm using different projections. I'd probably grade out a little bit better using SaberSim. But if I'm in even a, you know, 20% range, I think that's way better than being negative. All right. Oops. Going to my email by accident. Let's get back to SaberSim. And you know what? Someone made a comment. I thought this was worth like touching on as well. Someone made the comment, late swap can affect your post contest sim ROI as well. I would actually argue that late swapping only helps your post contest sim ROI and does not make it worse. So I think that matters. Because the post contest sims, right, are going to run with the final projections, right? So when we run the flashback sims, that is after the slate is over, that is after every late swap window, that is after every projection adjustment. If you are not swapping, then you are not getting all of those adjustments along the way. And that'll actually hurt your post-contest sim ROI. I think like an extreme example would be, say you have 100% Wemby, your lineup's grayed out really well. Well, let's say Wemby gets ruled out and you don't swap. The flashback sims are going to run as if Wemby has a zero, but you ran your sims when he had a projection of 50 or something like that, right? So your lineups are going to grade out terribly because you've rostered this high salary player who has a projection of zero now. So that is what I would be concerned about. And I think that is why swapping is actually good for your post-contest sim ROI. All right, next question. Does it ever make sense to rank your lineups by ownership? I'm on starter and have been defaulting to Saber score with mixed results. So ownership is... I mean, I would go to other sorting metrics before I went to ownership, I think is like the right way of saying it. If you are primarily using SaberScore, which is what we would recommend, and you want to experiment with other sorting metrics, the first place I would probably go are the percentiles. Percentiles are only caring about lineup upside. They don't care about anything else. They don't care about your projection floor. They don't care about your ownership. Like, hey, I am optimizing for upside and upside alone. Now, what number you want to use is also up to your discretion. I would recommend either 99th or 95th percentile. If I was playing a 20 max, I would probably go 95th. If I was playing a 150 max, I would be inclined to use 99th. The logic behind that is that when you use 99th percentile, that is a lineup's top 1% outcome. So if you play 100 lineups, mathematically, one of them is going to have a 99th percent outcome. So if you're playing 150, that's great. You know, because you're going to be able to have enough lineups to mathematically achieve that, right? 1.5 times on average. If you're playing a 20 max, well, you would probably want to use 95th because this is a lineup's top 5% outcome. So that would be 1 out of 20 lineups has a 95th percentile outcome. So for a 20 max, I'd use 95th. For 150 max, I would use 99th. I think this is the next place I would go if I wanted to experiment outside of SaberScore, but I would not use ownership. I don't really see ownership being very useful as far as sorting goes. I see ownership being useful in terms of like filtering and understanding which lineups are high ownership, low ownership, and kind of targeting from that angle. All right. Andrew, you think making sure the rake isn't too high for some contests on Owner's Box and Yahoo is more important because they don't limit pros in their contests like you can find on FanDuel and DK in the under $3 lobby? This is for the contests that do fill before lock on those sites. It's obviously different when you get overlay contests on Owner's Box and Yahoo. Thanks. Yeah, I think this is a sharp question, right? I haven't calculated the rake enough times on Yahoo, but I have done it on Owner's Box, and I'm almost positive Owner's Box runs the like highest rake of all the sites. Part of that is because their contests overlay a lot, right? It's like, okay, yeah, FanDuel is running 18% rake, Owner's Box is running 22%, but Owner's Box, you know, contests overlay a ton, and they might overlay 5%, and it kind of like nets out to like be the same. For the lot, you're specifically talking about the contests that do fill often, right? So yeah, you are paying more on average. To tell you the truth, I don't think the best players in the lobby are even getting to these contests. You know, I've never seen them when I've kind of like grinded. I'm talking about Owner's Box in particular. You know, Owner's Box has like 1K to first kind of flagships, like from what I've seen. I don't think that many top players are like getting there. So I think it's like fine. I don't know what the rake is on Yahoo. I do know good players are getting to Yahoo a little bit more, but definitely not as much as DK and FanDuel, where like the Sharks mainly play. So it might be something that, like, if you are using a tracking software, can kind of analyze, right? Like, if you are using a Roto tracker, for instance, well, you can look at, like, hey, what is my ROI on only this one site? You know, how am I doing on just Yahoo versus the other sites? And then maybe you can draw some conclusions from comparing site to site and check your finish positions, check your ROIs, and check your stakes, right? Hey, what about low stakes versus high stakes on this site? What's my top 1% finish rate? And decide, you know, it's all about putting your dollars where they're best spent. I think playing on some of these alternate sites can be really good, because if other top users aren't getting to it, then that makes the overall strength of competition a little bit lower. So it can be a good thing, even if you're paying a little bit more to play. But very good question, important consideration to make here. And I hope I provided some thoughtful opinions there. All right, next question. Am I doing something wrong when making my NBA lineups? I usually play one or two lineups a day. I'll enter my contest in and switch from portfolio to uniques, 1, 2, 3. And usually my first two lineups don't change, and those are the ones that end up getting entered. Okay, so I would say you're definitely not doing anything wrong here. When you are playing, say, you know, two lineups, right? Well, first off, when you use portfolio, okay, and you are using either SaberScore or ROI, doesn't matter. Your top, we'll talk as if we're on starter. Your top SaberScore lineup is always going to be the first lineup in your portfolio set. So portfolio, what it does, it starts with either your top SaberScore or your top ROI, and then it picks the next best contest that complements it. The next best lineup that complements it. So you're already going to get that top one either way. I think it's very, very possible that you do end up with the second highest SaberScore as well. I think that is something that can absolutely happen. So I wouldn't say you're doing anything wrong there. I think that if you expanded it to play, you know, more than two lineups, or you say you play one to two lineups, right? If you're playing one lineup, you're absolutely getting the same one. If you're playing two, maybe you're getting a different one, but you'll see the change more when you start to expand to 5 lineups, 10 lineups, 20 lineups. That's where the portfolio solver really starts to have a bigger impact on which lineups go into your contest in a good way. All right. Next question. For NBA DFS, if I'm playing 150 entries, is it better to sort by projected score or saber score and take the top 150 out of the 5,000 lineup pool, or let the portfolio diverser choose my 150 from the pool? Okay, so we recommend using the portfolio diversifier. So like as I was kind of talking about, the portfolio diversifier optimizes around saber score. Saber score is the primary metric that it is looking at, but then it's just figuring out which lineups play better together that are still high saber score. So it might take lineup one and lineup three instead of lineup one and then lineup two. Maybe these two are too correlated. Maybe they don't play great together, but maybe lineup three plays better with lineup one, right? That's what portfolio does. So we if I had to rank these three, I would say portfolio first, then saber score, and then projected score last. We are not big proponents of projected score over here because we believe that optimizing for the average outcome, which is like your mean, is not great to do in GPPs. All right, next question. Is there a video doing a more deep dive on how to use flashback tool and grading yourself compared to others? We do have a video on how to use flashback over in our help docs. So if you go to Saberson Tutorials, using contest flashback, this is like a not only a video, but an article. And there's like a learning from top players kind of section here. If you haven't seen this, I would highly recommend checking it out. It is a great starting point. And this is like a comprehensive 9-minute video. So doing a deep dive there, it's not just a quick hitter. All right, next question. I linked that video here in the YouTube chat as well, just so you guys know. All right, what would be the best way to sort golfers in an event like the Amex? It was kind of a pain to figure out what course of the three that each golfer was on. Any suggestion I am missing? So if a tournament is happening across multiple courses, we are simming for that. So the only tournaments I believe we do not sim are like team events. However, for tournaments like this, our sims understand, hey, each player is going to play on these different courses. These courses have different difficulty. We understand on a hole-by-hole basis how difficult a player's round is going to be. And all of that gets taken into account in the projections. So the projections are doing a lot of that hard work for you. I would still trust the projections and build in the same manner. So that would be my advice there. All right, next question. In late swap, is it okay to sort by ROI instead of portfolio if I am only playing a handful of lineups? Yeah, for sure. It's absolutely okay to do that. And it's okay to do that pre-build as well. You know, if you want to just play the highest ROI lineups at any point, I would say it's okay. If you are talking about late swap, you know, I kind of always say like what you start with is like what you should end with. So I would even consider if you're like, hey, I want to play ROI in late swap, I might even consider playing ROI pre-slate as well. Or if you're like, hey, I want to kind of start with portfolio and play it a little safer up front. But as we get into the games and some players start to lock, maybe I want to switch it and just optimize for the highest outcome at some point. You know, that's an okay thing to do as well, right? So our base advice is use portfolio all the way through. But you can obviously modify it to your liking, to your risk profile, and make a decision that you feel is better for you as a player. That's totally okay. All right, next question. Would you advise against matching exposure to ownership like at 25% or some other percentage rather than the default setting of 25? All right. So I have a couple thoughts on this. Number one is I think opening up the band here is better. So like if we open it up from 15 to 25, I think that's better. Personally, I think it's a little bit better for the builder. The other thing that I would do is I would probably change it for all of the low owned players. So if this is a percentage, right? Well, 25% of 0.95 creates a very small band for these players, right? It's like 0.7 to 1.2. This is actually really, really hard for the builder to do. And I don't think it really captures properly how much the player's exposure could fluctuate. You know, this 1% owned player could come in 0% owned. They could come in 4% owned, right? So if I were to do this, I would probably change all of these players. And I would probably do it in Excel because I think it would be easier. But like 25% to a 1% player is a lot different than 25% to the highest owned player, right? When you're 46% owned, your bottom is 34, your top is 57. That's plenty of wiggle room here, right? But at 1%, it's bad. It's not that much wiggle room, and it makes it very hard for the builder to meet that. So what I would do is set the match exposure to ownership. I would download the contest, the CSV. And let me bring this over. So because I already set the minimax exposures, they're here already, right? I see them. Okay, great. Well, then if I come in here, add some filters, sort by ownership, largest to smallest, you know, maybe there's a point, right, where I want to say, okay, for everybody under 1% owned, and I should lock this top column. For everyone under 1% owned, which is this column M, I want to set their minimum to 0 and their maximum to 4. And then I would do 0 and I would do 4. Once I've done 2 in each column, I can highlight them and then drag them down just for the projected players, which I think is a little bit more. Projection ends there. So now this is actually going to help the builder to meet all of your minimax exposures. And then you can consider doing that a little bit higher as well, right? Okay. 1 to 5%. Maybe I want to do a minimum of a half and a maximum of 8 or something like that, right? So you're opening it up a little bit more than the 25%, but you're only doing it to the lowest projected players whose ownership is going to like vary the most. And then once we get like above 5%, okay, well, like 4 to 6.5 is like a little bit bigger of like a band here. So then now let's say I'm happy with this. All right, cool. I save it. I go back to SaberSim. I go and I upload that CSV. Which is this one. And I don't care about ownership or projection. I just care about min-max exposure. So I got min-max. I have name and ID. Click save. And if I go down, okay, there it is. So I see all these eights. Right. And I see all these halves. So my minimax exposure got uploaded for these players here. Right. So that would probably help your case here. So I would consider doing that if you are going to use that tool. All right. Ryan said, thanks for the answer. Yahoo Low Stakes has the lower rake than the flagship contest, which can reach 17% rake when filled to max. Interesting. Usually, like the lower stakes contests have more rake, and as you go up, well, usually past the flagship, the rake gets like a little bit lower. But interesting note for sure. Kev in office hours said thank you. You're welcome. All right. Looking around here, looks like we're all caught up. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow morning, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.